Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we'll be interviewing actor Keith Silverstein.
Keith played Agent Peter Borland in the Novacom saga, and now he's playing Iditarod racer Lewis Scott in The Cure.
But first, here's the latest news. The Odyssey Adventure Club is now available in every country on Earth. Wow, that's big news.
Yeah, I know this is something that our international friends have been waiting for a long time. We've heard from people all over the world who want to join the club, and now it's open to everyone, everywhere.
So whether you're in Nigeria, South Africa, New Zealand, Uganda, or Canada, you can join the Odyssey Adventure Club.
In honor of the international launch, this season we'll be releasing all of the Adventures in Odyssey Spanish episodes on the club. The first collection debuts in April.
This is pretty cool. I didn't realize there are 40 episodes of Adventures in Odyssey in Spanish. Or should I say, Aventuras en Odisea in Español.
These stories are adaptations of some of the very first episodes, like Connie Comes to Town and Recollections. In the Spanish version, instead of Mr. Whitaker, it's Tia Huanca. And instead of Wit's End, it's El Club del Castillo, or The Castle Club.
To give you a preview, let's hear what the opening theme sounds like in the Spanish version of the first episode, Wit's Flop.
Or should we say, El Disparate de Tia Huanca.
Hola, me encuentro trabajando en uno de mis inventos. Soy Juan Carlos Castillo, pero tú puedes llamarme Tío Juanca. Y esto es Odisea. Veamos si esto funciona. ¡Esperen! Muy bien, me parece que necesita un poco más de trabajo. Pero esa es la parte emocionante, porque nunca sabes lo que descubrirás en el camino. Pero no te quedes solamente con lo que te digo. Puedes averiguarlo tú mismo cuando nos acompañes hoy en nuestra aventura en Odisea.
Sounds different, and yet you can still hear Wit working on that crazy machine. So, Bob, what else is new on the club?
Well, starting tomorrow, we've got the radio theater production of The Secret Garden. Now, this adaptation of the classic novel is over 2 hours long, Jess, and it's a great way to celebrate the arrival of spring.
There's always something new in the club, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And now, let's talk to Keith Silverstein. Keith has been missing from Adventures in Odyssey since 2003, but now he's back in the OAC three-parter, The Cure.
Let's hear from him now.
Well, Keith, we're really excited to have you on the podcast here today. You got your start in Adventures in Odyssey years ago playing the character of Santo from a small village in South America. So how did we first find you for this part?
I think I must have submitted through my agent originally, but I do remember that I had maybe a second audition over the phone. Because I remember auditioning in my living room, which is a little different. So I didn't have a microphone in front of me. I basically got a call from the producers. I got a brief description of the character. And then I put the phone down on my table and read the copy. And thankfully, they liked what they heard, and I was cast as Santo.
And that was Wow. Just the beginning of our relationship with you. Not long after that, you appeared as Agent Borland in the Novacom saga. Borland was originally brought in as a character in the Plan B four-parter, but turned into a much larger role that spanned more than a dozen episodes. How'd you create a voice for Borland that was different than the voice you used for Santo?
Well, you know, it wasn't that hard because Santo was a peaceful man in a small village in South America. So, you know, naturally he had to have a Spanish dialect of some sort when I was doing Santo. And Peter Borland, you know, he was more of a no-nonsense FBI agent. So I kind of took my natural voice and just compressed it a little bit more. So it was a little more serious, a little more straightforward. I tried to say my lines with purpose and authority. You know, I didn't put any natural stammering or stuttering in. Basically, that dragnet approach, you know, get through the lines fairly quickly without meandering too much. You know, then you suddenly have purpose and confidence in your voice. So that seemed to work for me. So they were very different characters.
Well, you really describe Peter Borland well because, again, very driven, very to the point, very no-nonsense. But what made this character kind of unique and fun was he also had a good sense of humor. A lot of one-liners there and throwaway comments. How much of that was in the script and how much of that did you ad-lib?
Actually, all of it was ad-libbed, every line, which presented quite a challenge for the other actors involved. No, I don't know how much was ad-libbed. I'd love to take a lot of credit for those lines, but you know, honestly, it's been a long time. I'm not sure if I can. It was really early in my career, and there were so many talented actors in the room. Janet Waldo was there, Jess Harnell, Katie Lee. So I just didn't want to be, you know, the loose end in the room, basically. But if I remember correctly, Borland, he kept up his serious persona even when he made quips, which I think kind of made him funnier, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
He didn't mug to the microphone. I don't know if that's a real expression. I know we say mug to the camera, but I guess it works. He didn't mug to the microphone or make it known he was cracking a joke. He just would say it just as seriously as he said everything else.
Well, for most of his episodes, Borland appeared in the role of FBI agent. However, in the last few, we saw him as a husband and a father. Which type of acting comes more naturally to you, Keith? Is it the action and the intrigue or more of the family drama?
You know, I think if you're going for what comes more naturally, I think for me, like husband and father comes a little bit more naturally because for me, that comes from a place of emotion that you can kind of relate to. Whereas for, you know, Borland, an FBI agent, that kind of comes from a place of suppression of emotion and responsibility. Not that he didn't have emotion, but he's on the job, he's working, so he's not going to bring his emotional baggage with him. So whatever he might be worried about at home, he's going to suppress that and try not to think about it so he can focus and be a leader. So I do remember when we went back for the other episodes where you saw the other side of him. I remember that being really fun to get the chance to explore that with him and kind of see where that took us.
And as Agent Borland, you got to deliver one of the most iconic lines ever on Adventures in Odyssey. And I don't even feel qualified to read it, but you said, "Robert Mitchell is dead." Could you give us that line again?
Sure, absolutely. Robert Mitchell is dead. Bum, bum, bum.
How about some other variations on that line? Depending on the inflection, give us some other ways that that might have been interpreted.
Robert Mitchell is dead. Robert Mitchell is dead. Robert Mitchell is dead. Now, that last one, they nixed right off the bat.
Okay.
Right off the bat,
yeah.
Tried it. They said, that's not what we're going for. But you know what? I had it there in the canon, and I used it, and what are you going to do?
Did you know how big that line was when you said it?
No, I didn't. I'm actually tickled to know, you know, to hear afterwards that it was such an important line. I remember being directed to go ahead and billboard that line, that it was important. So feel free to, you know, the actual dun-dun-dun was silently used, you know, to really hit that I was allowed to hit that pause. Which is great because you need that from a director because I was not super familiar with the series as a whole. I mean, it had been going on for so long, and so the director knows all the characters and knows how important that line is in the mix of everything. So I'm glad we got that. I'm glad it became such an iconic line.
Well, as you said, your time with us as Santo and Agent Borland was pretty early in your voiceover career. Since then, you've voiced more than 100 characters in video games and animated TV shows, and I noticed that you're credited with additional voices in Ice Age Continental Drift. Help me out. For the next time we watch that, which additional voices are you?
Oh, I'm the, I think they were called Hyraxes. I don't know if they're Hyraxes or Hydrax. They must have been Hyraxes. They're the little cute furry characters that help them out in that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So these little dudes, that they don't speak English at all. They just make a lot of, you know, strange and cute little burbles and merbles and sounds.
Okay.
And in the end, there's a lot of cheering and yelling. So some of those are me throughout that, yeah.
Well, more than 12 years since your last appearance as Agent Borland, we were trying to cast the part of champion dog sled racer Lewis Scott, and this was by far the most challenging role in The Cure, and you did a great job with it. We'd auditioned a number of talented actors. They just didn't sound rough and angry enough to be Lewis. 2 days before the session, executive producer Dave Arnold calls you up, and he explains the character to you. What do you remember about that conversation?
Yeah, well, I had already auditioned, and then I guess a week or 2 weeks later, then I got an email from my agent saying that they wanted a callback audition over the phone. So when I got the call, Dave actually wanted the character to be even more angry and more bitter, basically. I remember in the original audition, I had used a few of the lines in the audition to show some transition in his character, to kind of show some regret and some remorse. And Dave directed me to make Lewis even more set in his ways, which it was ultimately the direction that we went with him. I was just trying to show more range in the audition, but it was too much range because this is the character that that may be remorseful underneath, but the anger is really the thing that bubbles up to the top. So he would be more angry about being remorseful than actually show that remorse. And that's ultimately what we went with.
you know, talking with you is very pleasant, and you're obviously a very nice guy. So what experiences do you draw from when you created that sort of unpleasant, rude character of Lewis?
Well, you know, I think everyone has a dark side that they can draw from. Now, in real life, I'm not comfortable with letting that show very much because it's not really in my nature. I'm a very positive guy. I always want to look at the upside of everything, you know, glass half full and all that. But there's no downside to tapping into that when I'm acting because no one's going to hold that against me. Clearly, that's what the character demanded. That's what needed to happen. So what I did for this character really is I kind of just focused on aspects of my life when I actually felt like a failure. Times when, well, yeah, where basically I felt very negative and then I embraced that negative. So I did the exact opposite of what I do in real life, which is when I feel like a failure or I feel like I've made a mistake, I try to learn from it. I look at the positive. I grow. I did the opposite. I blamed myself. I held on to that negativity and just decided, you know, what would I be like if I just never forgave myself and just said, you know what, this is who I am. You don't have to like me. And so that's basically where I went with that.
Well, you seem to be having a really good time in the studio with Kiff VandenHeuvel, who played Will. Watching you guys work, I think the thing that impressed me most, Keith, was how on a warm California day, you both managed to sound like you were out on the Alaskan tundra. You didn't even need us to turn up the air conditioning, which we were ready to do that if you needed it. But as an actor, how do you give us the sense that you are exerting yourself in the bitter cold when it's not that cold?
Well, trade secret. I had an ice cube in my pocket. So, okay. I mean, that does the trick every time. I remember when we did our scenes that were outside, we were supposed to be exerting ourselves. And so both of us, we had to breathe a lot throughout our lines, a lot of exertion breaths. And for anyone who hasn't tried doing that, it's amazing how close you can come to actually passing out, to getting really lightheaded and literally passing out in the studio. So you have to be careful. You have to really balance that. You want to exert yourself, but you actually don't want to pass out. And if you don't believe me, find a nice soft carpet and, you know, try to read some lines and exert yourself a lot and put a lot of breath in there, and you'll see what happens very quickly. But we did. We had a blast doing it. It was great kind of yelling. We weren't too far apart, but we were yelling as if we were 20 feet apart and there was a huge snowstorm happening.
Well, I would think, too, as an actor, you need to stay so focused on what's coming next that you can't get too lost in the sort of the grunting and the emotional, you know, the physical side of it, that you lose your train of thought. That's a real challenge, isn't it?
It is. There's a dance with that where if you lose a little bit of the control and you just start to feel slightly lightheaded, it will change your read and it may give you something a little bit more natural because you're not as in control of it. But if you go too far with that, then clearly, you know, there's going to be an uncomfortable pause or you're going to read the wrong word or, you know, something that you really have to just do another take anyway. So there is a dance there, you know, trying to get that right. But in the end, I think with however many takes we used, we got there. Neither of us passed out, I will say. The ice cube was very uncomfortable as it melted in my pocket, but neither of us passed out.
You know, right now, our Odyssey Adventure Club listeners have heard parts one and two of The Cure. So without giving away too much, what can we expect from the final episode?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. The ship sinks, and she just throws the diamond in the ocean. Oh, wait, no, you know, I'm sorry, that's not right. I'm sorry, my bad.
Different story.
Rewind that. Yeah, I don't want to put any spoilers in it. Let's just say that in part three, you'll see that Lewis really is a good man deep down inside. I think Lewis has just never been able to get out of his own way and do the hard and necessary work of compromise with the ones that he cares about, if that makes sense. I mean, it's tough. You know, relationships are tough, and I think his problem is he focused on his own stuff. You know, he focused on the dog sledding and everything and didn't quit. It takes time and effort to have relationships. You know, and you have to be selfless at times and compromise, and I think we'll see kind of a little bit of the nice side of him. He'll get a little peek at it. He'll still be mean, but rough around the edges as opposed to mean. He'll still be rough around the edges, but I think you'll see something nice inside. So,
well, Keith, it's been a lot of fun talking with you. It was great fun watching you do your thing in the studio, and I just know that our fans are going to enjoy as they hear the wrap of The Cure with part three coming up in April. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This has been a blast.
It was great. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
I just love Keith's sense of humor.
Yeah, and now we know for aspiring voice actors how not to pass out in the studio.
Exactly. You know, I think I'm going to go back and listen to those Novacom episodes again on the club soon.
You can hear Keith as Lewis Scott in The Cure. Parts 1 and 2 are available on the club now, and part 3 will be released April 1st.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.